Today's scripture reading is taken from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasures. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? And for his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this, about himself or someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Gavin. Father, we do acknowledge this is the word of the Lord. Your word comes to us and effects change and growth and life and goodness and joy. And Lord, I ask that by your Spirit you would do all of those things in our hearts this morning. I ask that you would let us be encouraged by what we see. I pray that faith would be granted to those who need it. And Lord, I ask that you would cultivate within us a greater sensitivity to your Spirit. Give us the kind of attention to your Spirit that Philip had, so that we obey and we hear when you are speaking and when you're moving. And Lord, I ask that what we see in Philip's life would be an example to us. And so we ask for your help in applying this to our own lives and carrying the truths that we see here throughout the course of the week. So, Lord, let us be edified by your word this morning. And we just pause to say, Lord, that without you, we can do nothing. We know that your Spirit is life, and that by you comes life and goodness and every good blessing. And so I pray that your word would be a blessing to us. We acknowledge our need of you. We acknowledge our desire to be used by you, to be a blessing to this world. And I pray that by your Spirit, you would do that work within us. So we humbly submit to you and ask that you would allow us both to understand your word, but also then to stand under it as the authority over us. And I pray all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you're with us here for the first time, we've been moving through Acts, and we've been following the progression of the gospel, and we see, once again, Philip is being used by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus to continue spreading the gospel out from Jerusalem. And today we see a little bit of that journey that really we left Philip last week in Samaria, which is up in the north, 15 or so miles north of Jerusalem. In a region that there's a lot of antagonism between the Judean Jews and the Samaritan Jews, but he's in Samaria, and we see today the Spirit of God leads him to go south, back down to Jerusalem, and then to head even further sort of southwest over into towards a road that leads to Gaza. And he's obedient. He goes to Gaza. He bumps into this Ethiopian who, through this Ethiopian, will then take the gospel south some 1,500 miles into Ethiopia. Then Philip will move on up the coast into the north to Caesarea. We saw last week that the Spirit of God is the primary focus. And so we asked the question, how do you receive the Spirit of God? And how do you know you have the Spirit of God? So that's what we looked at last week. This week, again, we're going to focus on Philip, but ask a bit of a different question is, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God? How do we understand life in being led by the Spirit? What does that look like? And Philip is going to serve as an example here for us to take a look at. And so let me just make a couple of observations as we see looking at Philip, who is an evangelist. He's not an apostle. He's one of the seven who was chosen in the early church to help meet some tangible needs of taking care of widows who were being left out in the distribution of the food. So he's just an average guy whom God has anointed with his Spirit and then moved him to go on a bit of a journey. This is leaving his hometown. He left because of persecution. He had to flee because of the intensity of persecution in Jerusalem, and yet he left. And so a couple of observations of what we see in Philip's life that hopefully would help us to sort of ask the question, what does it look like to be led by the Spirit? And I would say there is so much that could be said. There are so many other passages to which we could look to understand what it means to be led by the Spirit, but we're just going to confine ourselves this morning to this last half of chapter 8. But the first observation I would make is, if you look, you'll see three instances in which Philip is being clearly led by the Lord. Three examples. We see this in verse 26, where we see an angel of the Lord said to Philip, and if you do have your Bible, just hold it open. We'll be hanging out here. So if you don't, on your phone, just scroll to Acts chapter 8. But we see the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and gave him a command, which he then obeyed. The command was go to this deserted place, a desert place on this road that goes to Gaza. He obeys. The second time we see it is in verse 29, where the Spirit again says to Philip, go meet this chariot, which he does. And so the Spirit is leading again. And then the last time we see the Lord leading, or the Spirit leading in this example, is at the very end of the chapter in verse 39, where the Spirit of the Lord, after he's baptized this Ethiopian, he comes up out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord catches him away. Funny little useless fact that I'll share with you. The word caught away in the Greek is harpazo, which we have our word harpoon, means to grab away and snatch away violently. So you might say the Holy Spirit harpooned Philip and carried him off to another place. Totally useless and pointless to the sermon, but I thought it was kind of fun. Where did the word harpoon come from? To grab a hold quickly and yank out of there. But you see the point. Philip is being led by the Spirit. Throughout the whole course of what we're reading, Philip is a man who is led by the Spirit of God. And as an example, we are called what? Christians, right? Christians are followers of Jesus. And so the first observation is, it is the Lord who is leading. It's the Lord who is leading. If you want to be led by the Spirit, and that is the calling of every Christian, is to be led by God. We are followers of Jesus. And here we see it is an angel of the Lord. And in Acts, that means the Lord Jesus. God, there's no trouble with a contradiction there, because God the Father has chosen Jesus to be his representative. So if you flip back a couple of pages to chapter 2 in Acts, you will see verse 36, I believe. Yes. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Let all of the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Right? So the leading of the Lord that we see active in Philip's life is the leading of the Lord Jesus. It is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus who is leading here. And remember, there's no conflict between the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus. Acts chapter 16, in verses 6, 7, and 8 or so, we see Paul refer to the Holy Spirit of God the Father, and in the very next sentence say, the Spirit of Jesus. They're the same Spirit. If you want to be led by the Spirit of God, you're also going to want to be led by the Spirit of Jesus because he's one and the same person. We are Trinitarians. We believe that God exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So there's no conflict in leadership here. But the point is, if you are a Christian, it is our calling to be led by the Lord. He is the Lord. He is the leader. We are the sheep. We are his followers. And so that's what we're striving for. In everyday living, we're wanting to know, how is it I can be led by the Lord? And the first, most basic assumption is, you've got to know it's not you. You are not the Lord of your life. If you're a Christian, Jesus is, right? You were bought with a price. He purchased you. If you're his follower, he is your Lord. He is your leader. And so, are you a Christian or are you a Selfian? Are you a Christ follower or are you a self follower? Right? That's the daily challenge for us is, who am I going to obey today? Whose will am I going to do? My own, or am I going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? So are you a follower of Jesus or do you dictate your day? Right? Philip did not plan this. I don't think this was on his calendar. Well, today I'm going to take off south to some desert road to Gaza. He didn't plan that. That wasn't on his agenda, I don't think. And yet he willingly went along with what the Lord was doing. Right? Sometimes that happens in our lives. We have a calendar, you have an agenda, you've got a list of things you're going to do. And sometimes you find yourself a door of opportunity opening up. And the key is, question, are we open to that? Are we open to letting the Lord be the Lord of our lives? Or are we going to say, no way, it's not on my calendar, I'm not doing it? This is one of the things the Lord had to show me early in life. My wife had a crazy illness. We couldn't figure out what was going on. And sometimes she would just be paralyzed for a while. And you know, when you have a to-do list and your wife suddenly ends up paralyzed, guess what happens to the to-do list? It gets significantly altered. And I think the Lord partly used her disease to teach me, you are not the God of your calendar, dear Todd Cravens. You are not. And so I'm going to show you how to submit to my will. That happened again and again. It was painful. It was brutally painful because I have a list of things to do. I want to get it done. And yet the Lord comes along and shows me it's not actually the way this day is going to unfold. As Christians, are we okay with that? Are you okay with the Lord being the Lord and the leader of your life? If you want to be led by the Spirit, I'm not saying don't have to-do lists. Please have them. I have like 17 on my phone. And yet, who gets to determine the outcome of the day? Right? Sometimes the Lord surprises us. And so here we see, this is the angel of the Lord. Christ is the commander of our lives. If we're a Christian, he is the one who gets to tell us what to do. So that's the first point. The first observation is Jesus is the Lord of Philip's movements here. Secondly, we see the leading of the Holy Spirit ought to be embraced with willingness and enthusiasm. The leading of the Spirit, we ought to embrace that notion with willingness and enthusiasm. And I see this in verses 26, right? The angel of the Lord said to Philip, so the Lord is one talking, rise, go south to the road that goes down to Jerusalem, to Gaza. This is a desert place. And what do we see? Verse 27, he got up and he went. That's willingness. He was willing to go. There was this disposition with his own heart of, okay, if the Lord wants me to go, then I'm going to go. And then look at verses 29 and 30. Later, once he goes and he arrives at where he is going, we see the Spirit then said again to Philip, go over and join that chariot. And look at verse 30. What does it say? Verse 30 says, he ran. That has to be enthusiasm. You don't run places you don't want to go, do you? Nobody, he didn't say, okay, let me pray about this for a minute. Let me stop. Let me think about this. He ran. When the Lord said, go join that chariot, off he went. He was running to go and do what the Lord's will is. I love that. I believe this is a quick willingness or a desire to respond immediately to the Lord's leading. Now, it could be that the chariot is just moving so quickly, he realizes, I'm not going to catch this guy if I don't hustle up and go after him. And yet, I think this points to a willingness to be led by the Spirit, but then also a quickness to obey. When the Lord leads, are we reluctant or are we going to jump in enthusiastically to do what the Lord's leading is? So, right, if you want to do something well, you have to train for it. If you want to be a good runner, you have to train for it. I think it's the same in learning how to be led by the Spirit. You have to train for it. When you start your day this week, when you go off into work, I encourage you tomorrow morning before you start your work week, pray. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to be today? What do you mean to do today? How do you want me to serve you today? Will you show me? I'm ready. I'm ready to be trained. I'm ready to start a habit of willingness and eagerness to do however you want me to do. I mean, you're going to do your job, but the way in which you do it should be determined by what we see about the Lord's leading. So be open and ready for the Lord to lead. So train yourself to be enthusiastic and quick to obey the leading of the Lord. And number three, we see that being led by the Spirit involves being grounded in God's word. Being led by the Spirit starts in and is grounded in God's word. The Ethiopian, what was he doing? Right? He's reading a scroll of Isaiah. He's reading his Bible. So he's in God's word. And when Philip shows up, he immediately understands what's going on. And what is the Ethiopian doing? He's reading his Bible out loud. Right, Andy? This is public reading of scripture, even though there's just a handful of people around. He's reading his Bible out loud. Philip heard what was being read, and he knew immediately what the passage was. And my question to us is, are we that grounded in God's word that when somebody starts reading a passage of scripture, like, yeah, I know where that is. I've heard that before, right? Are we so familiar with God's word that we're able to say yes and be like Philip to say, okay, here's this passage. Do you know what you're reading? And this open door of opportunity. I'm not quite sure I get it. Can you are you busy? You want to hop up here in the chariot and help me out? And in hops Philip. And then he begins to explain the gospel. Do you know God's word? Folks, if you want to be led by the Spirit of God, you got to stay grounded in God's word. There's no shortcut here. This is just a simple fact. If you want to know God and you want to be led by his Spirit, you've got to be in God's word. If you daily want to be led by the Spirit of God, I recommend you daily being in God's word. And we like to be led in the right direction, right? I think the premise is the Lord is not going to lead you in the wrong way. He won't. And so I was reminded of Psalm 119, 105, which says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you're wondering, what direction do you want me to go in the course of your life, in the daily routine, right? God's word will give you what you need. And I can't tell you how many times that my daily Bible reading plan, some verse pops up that I need to know that day. It's like breakfast for me. Reading my Bible is like spiritual breakfast. It gives me what I need to get through the day. And I commend God's word to you. A couple of other examples of the encouragement from the word. David says this in Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you. This is God speaking through David. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you or guide you with my eye upon you. Meaning if you're seeking the Lord, he will use his word to direct you. He will give you guidance. He will help you direct the course of your day. You'll know how to respond in certain situations. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus calls the Spirit of truth, we are also told, will guide you into all truth. So the Spirit of God, throughout the course of the day, using the Word of God, will keep you from being caught away or shifted and twisted off in error, in whatever practice or even in your thinking. It is the Spirit of God who directs us to live our lives according to the truth. And so follow that promise. God, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. So you can be misguided in how you use Scripture. We have to be careful in how we use Scripture. Like that age-old sort of method of Bible reading where you just flop open the Bible and you point to the first verse and, you know, that's going to be my wisdom for the day. You ever do that? Some of us do. Don't raise your hand if you do. I'm just kidding. But we, like, if you're praying, Lord, I need you to guide me today. And so you pop open the Bible and point, and I land on Matthew 27, verse 6, which says, throwing down his pieces of silver, he went out and hanged himself. So what's the Lord's will that day? You get rid of all your money and go hang yourself? There is a wrong way of using Scripture, but there is a right way of doing it. That's why I think consistent reading of moving through God's Word will be helpful, right? This random popping probably is not going to work out too well. But if you're consistently moving through God's Word, He will bless you. So let our lives, if we are to be blessed by the Lord and led by His Spirit, stay grounded in His Word. Right, Psalm 1 says this, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but what? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night. Right, God's word ought to be rolling around in our heads. If that's true, we'll be like a tree planted by water, which bears fruit in its season. Its leaf stays green, even in times of famine. And we're rooted like receiving living waters. If you're that kind of person meditating on the truth of God, he will direct you. You will be fruitful. There's blessing here. Blessed is the person who is grounded into God's word. So there is great promise of blessing and being led by the Spirit, if you stay in God's Word. And I plead with you, I'll go to my grave pleading, read God's Word, stay in it. So that's the third point of being led by the Spirit. Fourth is, not only should we read God's Word, but then we have to do it, right? God's Word is not merely for our information, but He gives His Word so that by it, we are experiencing transformation. If there's anything you want changed about your life, God does it by sanctifying you through His word. Jesus said, your word is truth, so sanctify them by your word. Getting into God's word will begin to change your character. It is by His word and through His Spirit, He will apply His word to cultivate a Christ-like character within us. And so if we know what God's word is, then we'll be changed by it. And so doing God's word, you know it, then you do it, and you're obedient. And that's exactly what this Ethiopian eunuch does. So in verse 36 and verse through 38, when he reads God's word, Philip has explained the gospel to him. He then goes on. He starts in Isaiah. He didn't stop there. It says he began in Isaiah to tell him the gospel of Jesus, but then he begins to tell him what the Christian life ought to be like. And so verse 36, as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop. They both went down into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. My point here is, once he read God's word, he then obeyed it. Once he understood what God's will was, he was quick to obey. I mean, the guy's, he's barely heard the gospel. I don't know how long, 15, 20, 30 minutes, an hour were they riding along as they were talking and conversing. And he says, you've been talking about baptism, Philip. Well, here's some water. So why don't we push pause for a minute? Let's go jump in and be baptized. That's the heart of a person who wants to be led by the Spirit of God. It's this obedience. Once we read God's word, then we have to obey it, right? James tells us, don't be doers of the word. Chapter 1, verse 22. James, don't be doers of the word. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. But be no hearer who forgets, but a doer who does or who acts, right? And there will be a blessing in the doing. Again, we get pointed back to this blessing that comes from obedience. You have to be convinced on that point. If God's word to you will not bring a blessing to you, you won't obey it. You won't do it. You will do whatever you think will bring you the greatest blessing. But if you're convinced that God knows how to bless his children by their obedience, you will be inclined to obey. If you know there is a reward that comes from your obedience, you will obey. There's greater chance you're going to obey if there's some blessing that will come to you rather than not. Everybody knows this. First grade teachers know this, right? They give little sticky stars and smiley faces to little kids when they turn in their homework. You all remember it. We lived for little stars and stickies, and now we get them on, you know, Fruit Ninja and everything else we play, and Apple Maps and all this kind of stuff rewards you, and Waze gives you points for helping people determine what traffic is happening. We get all kinds of rewards for obedience. So here, there's blessing that comes if we obey. Do you believe that? Do you believe that obeying God's word will bring you blessing? If you don't, you're not going to obey it for 5 minutes. You just won't do it. That's a deep question. Do you believe God knows how to bring blessing into your life when you obey his word? And then lastly, the fruit of that blessing is joy. Verse 39, last verse. When they came up out of the water and the Spirit of the Lord harpooned Philip away, the eunuch saw him no more. And what did he do? He went on his way rejoicing. Right? He went on his way rejoicing. There is joy that comes. I mean, if you were the eunuch and suddenly this guy disappears, what would you think? I mean, well, now what am I supposed to do? And what's the next step? Who's going to mentor me? And who's going to disciple me? Who's going to take care of me? Who's going to point me the way? He just goes away rejoicing. I've heard about Jesus. I've learned about the Holy Spirit. I'm being obedient. I think God's going to take care of me, I think is the answer. And there's great joy that comes from obeying the Lord. Just another verse, the words of Jesus, right? There is a sense in which Jesus says, in John 15, he says to his disciples that night before he's crucified, he says, I've said these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy, what? May be full. You want fullness of joy? Does that sound good to anybody? If we could go over to China Sky for lunch and order fullness of joy, I'd be there in 2 minutes. And yet here Jesus says, my words, I'm telling you all of this so that my joy, which is perfect, my joy can be in you and your joy may be full. And then for an encouragement for prayer, John 16, 24, he says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. However, ask, hear that? Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. So if you think being led by the Spirit is confusing and some nebulous, undetermined quality, I want to invite you to obey what Jesus is saying here and say, would you teach me what it means to be led by the Spirit so that I can know fullness of joy? Pray that. Father, Lord Jesus, would you help me be led by your Spirit? Help me to obey quickly. Help me to obey willingly and enthusiastically. Let me say, yes, Lord, you are the Lord of my life, not me. I'm a Christian, not a selfian. I want to follow you, not my own will. This week, help me at my work to experience the leading of your Spirit, and so that I can know that this blessing of joy and goodness, let me be an attractive Christian. Then let people see in me the light of the glory of the gospel and help people along their way in finding and meeting you. Pray that. Begin to pray it earnestly and mean it, because the result is here, fullness of joy. So this man was transformed. He went back and took the gospel to Ethiopia. And there has been a massive, strong Christian witness in that entire region, which encompasses the Sudan, Uganda, this whole region. There's been a strong Christian witness for thousands of years. Probably great in part because of this man's witness and the faithful sharing of the gospel that went forward. So I'm asking, would you seek the Lord this week? Would you ask him, would you let me be led by your Spirit? Let me know this in greater measure. Because if you're sensing that's not a reality that you experience, then here's Jesus saying, ask. Ask me for help, ask for fullness of joy. And you have to pray it more than just once, probably. I suspect. We want to pray one thing and then boom, have the answer, right? We push a button, we get popcorn. We want things quickly, and yet Jesus says, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll be filled. So don't give up. Keep going hard after the Lord in order to find fullness of joy and to allow his Spirit to train us. It involves spiritual training. So you want to do a little spiritual training this week. I encourage you, be consistent. Consistency in your walk with the Lord will bring blessing and it will yield fruit. So let that be a prayer. That we would be led by the Spirit, that we would know his joy, know his blessing, and that he would grant us endurance. So would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we see a godly example in Philip. And I pray that his example is encouraging to us. He was just an average guy that fully surrendered his heart to you. And you led him. And Lord, I know that this week we're probably not going to have angels speaking to us to lead us in particular ways, but I ask, would you let your people be consistent? Would you, by your Spirit, would you cultivate a hunger within us to know you more deeply, to obey you more quickly? And God, let the reluctance and the doubt and the hesitation just melt away and let a daily consistent prayer to be led by your Spirit be the means by which you pour into us the joy of Jesus as we begin to consistently and habitually obey. God, your word tells us, taste and see that you are good, and you are. God, let us believe that. If every soul in this room, the ability to believe that obedience is far better than disobedience. And I pray, Lord, that by your grace and your mercy, you would draw us closer to yourself. Let us say yes when you say yes. Let us say no when you say no. Let us resist the temptations of the evil one. And let us be led by your Spirit in ever increasing joy, I pray. Amen.